Oh, praise ye the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for victory. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I just couldn't help but remember as we were singing that, you know, years ago when the Lord came into my life and all the wonders of it, you know, it was Him. So often people want to think it's going to be, you know, their decision and, you know, their walk up the aisle or whatever they did to acknowledge the Lord. And you know, it was His call. It was His call that night, you know. And it was so amazing because, you know, it wasn't something in myself, something I had planned or anticipated by any means, but it was that call of the Lord, you know, calling Him to Himself, calling us to Himself, and oh, praise the Lord. It's such an amazing thing, the way the Lord gets a hold of us, the way He draws us to Himself, and, you know, that wonderful salvation that He has wrought. It's so beautiful, and, you know, how when we sing and, oh, just, you know, there's so much to remember, so much to be grateful for. Oh, so little can we do of ourselves. Actually nothing. But, you know, the Lord, He just makes a way. He makes a way and that call to repentance. Oh, praise the Lord. How He knows how to do it. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, can you imagine around the throne how glorious it's going to be when we all just realize we're home? You know, this pilgrimage is over. We're home. We're with the Lord. It's over. No more temptations, no more trials. We're there in the presence of the Lord. Oh, yes, to ever give Him glory and the praises that He is so, so worthy of. Oh, praise the Lord. No, I don't think we can praise Him enough. Amen. I don't think we can worship Him enough. And it should be a continuous thing in our lives. Praise the Lord. Giving the praise and the glory to our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You once again that You've made this service available. We just thank You, Lord. Oh, God, we know we are but dust of this earth. And, oh, God, just, you know, so puny and insignificant. And, oh, Lord, why You had regard to us, it's such a marvel in our hearts, why You called us. And, oh, God, we thank You, Lord. We thank You. We give You praise. We give You worship. We give You honor, Lord. Oh, God, we thank You, Lord, for what You have done, how You redeemed us, how You set us free. Oh, praise the Lord, how You made Your word talk to our hearts, oh, Lord. Oh, God, that calling and election, Lord, that You brought forth. And we thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that You'd use Your word here tonight. I pray, oh, God, that You'd use it for Your name's sake, God. You know our struggles. You know our needs. And, oh, God, I know we need to give You more and more. Oh, God, every day needs to be a surrender to Thee, Lord, to Thy will and to Thy ways. God, I pray that You talk to us tonight, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that You'd help us, oh, God, to get to that place where we need to be in You, Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord, please use Your word, and I thank You for it. Such a beautiful thing, Lord. Oh, God, that one so great and so mighty would regard us, would call us, would come to us. Oh, Lord, would save us. Oh, God, would heal us, Lord, of our afflictions. Oh, God, oh, would deliver us. Oh, my, time and time again. Oh, Lord, and oh, God, would save us, oh, Lord, with Your strong hand. Oh, we thank You, Jesus. We praise You, Lord. I pray that You, oh, God, work in me Thy word, Lord, and that, oh, Lord, You'd bring it forth as You would ordain. We thank You and praise You in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Thanking You, God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise our Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank You, God. Oh, praise the Lord. We're just kind of thankful, too. We had rain today, just almost all day. I think it's been raining. It kind of was stopped before church tonight, which was pretty neat. But praise the Lord, the, you know, temperatures went down, and it's not so extremely hot like it's been. And just thanks be to God. Amen. Praise the Lord, the one who helps us continuously. Oh, thank the Lord. He is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to go into the Bible here tonight. And praise the Lord. We're going to go into the Old Testament to begin. And I'm going to call this message, Behold the Stone. Behold the Stone. Praise the Lord. Trust the Lord to have his way here. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go into Zechariah chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. And I just love, oh my, the precious truths that come out in his word, the things that were written, oh yes, so long ago. But those holy men of God who spake as they were anointed by the Spirit of the living God and brought forth words they didn't even understand, couldn't even know why they were writing it or what was the whole meaning behind it. But you know, I believe they had faith and were believing that what they were writing would be fulfilled. And praise the Lord, oh yes, we've seen much fulfillment in our lives, and oh yes, our testimonies, oh yes, of what we have seen the Lord do and how he came to this earth to save us from our sins. Amen. Praise the Lord. Zechariah chapter 3 here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it begins here. I'm going to go to the first verse here. And it says, And he showed me Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire? And praise the Lord, you know, I thank God that we can rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus, knowing that he will flee. Amen. He has given that authority and privilege to his church. Praise the Lord. But here we have one, he was the high priest there in Jerusalem, and there was a little problem here, and Satan taking advantage of it, standing at his right hand, right there to, you know, flaunt his power and try to hinder. But the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee. Oh, praise the Lord. And all those few little words, praise the Lord. And oh, what miracles they can bring forth. Amen. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. If the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee, is this not a brand plucked out of the fire? And here it's almost like the Lord is bragging a little bit there on Joshua. And, you know, we read how God bragged about Job there in that first chapter of Job. And here it just seems like, you know, Satan, your authority, it's gone. I rebuke you. And, you know, he saw Joshua in his strength here, Joshua the high priest at this time. And he says, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? So a brand would be like a prize of war or some kind of plunder that is taken after a battle. Now, praise the Lord, there had been a battle going on here. The devil trying to get a hold of Joshua and hinder him and snare him and whatever all was going on. We don't have details, but there was some kind of battle going on. But praise the Lord, there's victory in Jesus. Amen? There's victory in Jesus. So, yeah, the Lord rebuked him. And then he said, Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Praise the Lord, a prize from, you know, the awards of war when you have taken the battle. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to see the problem here. If we go to verse 3, as we will, I believe, praise the Lord. It says, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And I would have to believe those filthy garments are descriptive of the sin in our life before we turn it over to the Lord Jesus in repentance and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And so here he is. And, you know, like I said, there is a problem. And, you know, when there's sin in our life, the devil thinks, you know, that he can take advantage of that. But praise the Lord rebuked the devil, rebuked Satan. And then here he is, he's clothed with filthy garments and he stood before the angel. Well, that isn't going to work, is it? It tells us, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And oh, praise the Lord, I see this is what the Lord does for us. Oh, we come to him. Oh, in our waywardness, in our sin, in our past, you know, all the things that are filthy and despised of God. But praise the Lord, oh, our God is so willing to forgive us. Oh, yes, and to give us his garments. Oh, his garment of righteousness. Oh, yes, praise the Lord, so that we can stand in his sight. You see, sin is not going to stand in the sight of God. And here, Joshua, yes, there was a problem. He needed some help. He had those filthy garments on, and oh, he was defiled. He couldn't stand before the angel of the Lord properly. But praise the Lord, oh, yes, the Lord said, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him, unto Joshua, he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, our own righteousnesses are but filthy rags in the sight of God. We're all as an unclean thing, and how we need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, yes, oh, that white linen that, oh, he clothes his people with that represents the righteousness of our God. Amen. And we need it. Oh, yes, we must be clothed in it. And besides, he says, and I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And we're going to go to Zechariah 6 in a few minutes, I hope. We'll find out what that fair mitre is upon his head. You know, it certainly would indicate some kind of a band across his head, a headdress, but I believe it's going to be fully described in the 6th chapter of Zechariah. And so there it is. Not only is he clothed with clean garments and then a fair mitre upon his head is placed. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 6, and the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, and by protest here, we mean admonished, or he charged him. And this is what he's going to say. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Oh, praise the Lord. So you see the word if there, and yes, he's given this charge, and you know the necessity of it. Oh, yes, of keeping the ways of the Lord. You know, letting the Lord work in our lives and change us and bring us to that place that we need to be in him. You know, in the mail the other day, I had this envelope from Pro-Life, and I get mail from them every little while, and I was going to look at it. I decided I was going to look at it and see what they were promoting at the moment, lo and behold, yeah, it was a little flyer here, and it says, "Celebrate Life with Us." It says, "Pro-Life Wisconsin's 2025 Love for Life Gala." And anyway, here it announces it's going to be in Brookfield at a conference center. It's going to be on October 10th, and they're featuring somebody called Abby Johnson, who was a former Planned Parenthood Clinic Director and CEO and founder of And Then There Were None and Pro-Life Ministries. Well, anyway, that sounded sort of good. But I'm looking at how they're going to celebrate. And then I see, wow, you know, it's all about raising money here. They're charging $125 if you want to go, you know, anyway, you know. And you know, this is what it is. This is what the evening is. It's a social hour with open bar and hors d'oeuvre. And it says a raffle. It says raffle games and wine poll. And then a formal dinner and live auction. And keynote speaker is Abby Johnson. And oh yeah, so $125 per person or $1,000 for a table. No, I thought, oh my, you know, you just think maybe pro-life is, you know, just would have a little bit of different perspective and not be so worldly, but you know, here it is. Yeah, just a worldly event, you know, raising money for their cause and everything else, and you know, just celebrating like the world does, you know, open bars and, you know, hors d'oeuvres and you know, raffle games, wine poll, all those kind of things. And I thought, wow, you know, it's just so sad, you know, it's not godly, you know, that's not Christian-like, but oh, praise the Lord, you know, that's the world right now. In so many cases, people no longer know, and you know, they're thinking they're Christians, and far from it. And you know, looking back here in Zechariah 3, I suppose Joshua maybe didn't realize how filthy his garments were when he stood there before the angel. He maybe just didn't know, you know, maybe it hadn't occurred to him, or maybe he was afraid of that and just didn't know how to get rid of it. I don't know, but oh, praise the Lord, you know, the Lord changes us. Oh, we must not stay in our filth when we come to the Lord. Yeah, we're all out there, we're all doing things and, you know, living the worldly lifestyle. But oh my, you know, when Jesus came into our life, it was a new start. It was a new beginning. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And yeah, it's time to let go of the old man and all his old ways. And praise the Lord. I thank God that, oh yes, we find that in his word. And it's not hidden. It's very plain. But oh my, God have mercy on this so-called Christendom that surrounds us and the way people think these days. It's so wrong, and it's not going to get them to heaven. Amen. So here the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, "If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by." In other words, I believe the Lord saying, I will use you. Oh yes, if you just be clean, be walking my ways and keep my charge and go forth, you know, don't put those filthy garments back on. Oh yes, let sin be gone in our lives, amen? And when we've truly surrendered to the Lord and given him that past life and turned it over to him in true repentance, obey that command to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, he knows how to give us places to walk. Praise the Lord, he knows how to use us. So praise the Lord, how we can be led by the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So the Lord continues to talk to Joshua. And verse 8 tells us, "Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch." Oh, praise the Lord. And of course, this is a prophetic utterance. And we see a reference to it also in the 6th chapter of Zechariah. And of course, it's pertaining to Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, there was a lot to consider. And I imagine those that were with him and were witnessing that, it was a great deal to wonder at. But oh, yes, the Lord was telling him that, oh, there was going to be this moment that he was going to send forth his servant, the branch. And let's look at that just a minute here. Let's just go to some other verses to get greater understanding on that phrase there. Praise the Lord. Just turning to the 6th chapter of Zechariah and going to the 9th verse, it tells us, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Take of them of the captivity, even of Haldea, of Tobijah, and Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest. And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." And oh, praise the Lord again. That 12th verse is talking about Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. But here, just to look at verses 10 and 11 here, there they were told, these of the captivity that are mentioned here, that they were to go that same day and go to the house of Josiah. And there, they were going to crown Joshua the high priest. It's described in verse 11. And my references tell me it was about 519 BC when this all happened. It tells us in verse 11, "Yes, then take silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Joshua the son of Josedech the high priest. And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, it's going to tell us a little bit more about that one who is called the branch. Praise the Lord. It tells us, "Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crown shall be to Helam, and to Tobijah, and to Jedidiah, and to Han, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord." And then it's explained in verse 15, And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad that the branch did come forth. Oh, that extension of God, Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, who came to this world to seek and to save those that are lost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. You know, the description in Isaiah 53, the first couple of verses, it goes, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? There, Jesus Christ is referred to as an arm, and here he's a branch. A branch is an extension of the trunk of a tree. And the arm is, you know, the extension of the body that reaches out. Praise the Lord. And then he, you know, is indicated in Isaiah 53, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So yes, he was going to be taken out of his place and grow up before all those that would be there to witness. Praise the Lord. And oh, praise the Lord, not only did he come to save the Jewish people, his own people who would receive him, but he also came to save them that are far off. Oh, yes, those who are considered Gentiles. Oh, yes, us, many of us who are Gentiles, oh, considered to be far off. Far off from the old covenant. Oh, yes, that was at first given by Moses, brought forth. But, oh, yes, participants, oh, able to share in the building, in the temple of the Lord. And it tells us, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you, and this shall come to pass if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. And praise the Lord, I know that, oh yes, there was that wonderful day when Jesus Christ came into this world, oh yes, to seek and to save those that are lost. Amen. Amen. And yeah, we're going to go back. I hope we get to some scripture that so beautifully solidifies who it is that are far off, that come to build in the temple of the Lord. And yes, what that temple is, it's his people. Praise the Lord, he has called forth ones. You and I, oh, praise the Lord, that the Lord has called forth out of this world to participate in his kingdom, to be his sons and his daughters, and to be like a lively stone in the kingdom of God. Oh, praise the Lord, as it tells us in Ephesians, the second chapter, all of us being a stone, and then it all is put together, oh, yes, to make the temple of the Lord, the dwelling place of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, it's exciting. It's so exciting. Praise the Lord. But I want to go back to Zechariah 3 and get to this other point too. Praise the Lord. And so here in verse 8, again, I'll read that one. It says, hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. And then verse 9 tells us, for behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Praise the Lord. So we see this referral to Calvary here. Praise the Lord. And yes, praise the Lord. And then he's talking about the stone. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua. Upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Praise the Lord. Yes, thank you, Jesus. And praise the Lord, if you're wondering about those seven eyes, I think the next chapter, chapter 4, verse 10, explains it. Verse 10, chapter 4 of Zechariah, it says, "For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." Praise the Lord. And I believe that seven eyes there in that verse there, verse 9, indicates God's ability to see every detail, to see every being. Oh, they go throughout the whole earth, running to and fro through the whole earth.
Amen.
Yes, you know, making note of every detail, not missing one detail at all, and seven being complete in that manner, and praise the Lord, God's all-seeing ability. Praise the Lord. But oh, yes, he also said, "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree." And that reference, under the vine and under the fig tree, is used several times in the scripture. And I think it's quite explained in 1 Kings 4, verse 25. I'll just read that verse. It tells us, 1 Kings 4, chapter 4, verse 25. "And Judah and Israel shall dwell every man under his vine and under his tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon." So from Dan even to Beersheba, Dan was the northernmost point there in Israel, and Beersheba was the southernmost. And so when they talk about every man under his vine and under his tree, they're talking about times of rest, times of peace, you know, when there was no war, you know, and things were going well, and you know, it was lovely in that sense. And praise the Lord, you know, there is a peace that God gives his people, a peace that passes all understanding. You know, Jesus said, "My peace I give unto thee, not peace as the world giveth give I unto thee." Oh, yes, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Yes, that peace that passeth all understanding, the Lord gives to us. And so when he takes us, oh, and calls us unto repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus, and oh, yes, yes, the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is also indicated as rest several times in the scripture, including Isaiah chapter 28. But when it indicates that, it's talking about the peace of God that comes to fill the void in our hearts. Praise the Lord, so that in the midst of trials, in the midst of suffering even, we can know the peace of our God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But oh, yes, the branch was going to come forth. Oh, yes. Oh, to bring us salvation. Oh, yes, so we didn't have to continue to live in our trespasses and sins. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it's mentioned also in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 5. There's also a prophetic utterance. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, where it is said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." Oh, praise the Lord our righteousness. Oh, like we say again and again, you know, our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags, but praise the Lord, when we come to the Lord and he takes those old sins, he gives us his garment, his righteousness, He clothes us with his righteousness so we don't have to stand there, you know, like Zechariah in those filthy clothes. Or in other words, those filthy sins, oh my, that separate us from God. Oh, our God has made a provision for us that, oh yes, we can be delivered from our sins, set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We don't have to continue in those old ways. Thank the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, it's said very closely to that in the 33rd chapter of Jeremiah, to those scriptures as I read there in the 23rd chapter, verses 5 and 6. Praise the Lord. But oh, yes, our God was going to come forth. Oh, yes, he was going to come forth. Oh, the stone. Oh, and oh, that is so amazing. I'm not sure just how far I'll get here tonight, but let's just look here at some more prophetic utterances in Psalms 118. Praise the Lord. Psalms 118. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Our wonderful Savior, our soon coming Lord and God. Oh, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So Psalms 118, and I'm going to go to the 19th verse in Psalms 118. Praise the Lord. It says to me, or says to all of us, verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. And oh, that's such a beautiful thought, you know. Oh, again, when Jesus came to this earth as the branch. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what was he doing? He was opening the door of salvation. Oh, yes, that was fully opened on the day of Pentecost. Praise the Lord. That day of salvation, the door was opening, so that we could come into the gates of righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. So we can go into them and praise the Lord. It says the gate, this gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking of Isaiah 26, the first few verses in that chapter, as I was reading that today. Verse 1 in Isaiah 26 goes, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 2, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Praise the Lord. That's the church of the living God. And thank God, oh yes, the branch came forth to open up the gates so that, oh yes, we who have been redeemed, because it never would have happened, those gates would not have been opened except that we came to the Lord Jesus, admitting our sins, oh yes, and confessing them, oh yes, and no longer wanting to walk in them, praise the Lord, and oh yes, going on to be baptized in his name. Oh, praise the Lord. And we love verse 3. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Oh, we just talked about that peace of God. Oh, that was indicated there in Zechariah chapter 3. And here, oh my, here again, it just again states that perfect peace that comes only from God. Amen. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. See, there's a great secret in this third verse. The great necessity to keep our minds on Jesus, our focus on Jesus. Amen, because he trusteth in thee. Oh yeah, you're going to start wavering. You're going to start falling if you keep your, you know, you focus on the world and all the problems and your own problems and all the situations that you can't understand, all the confusion of this world. Oh my, you know, that's not going to be very peaceful. But praise the Lord, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Oh, just trust in the Lord. He's going to bring us through. He's going to deliver us. He's going to keep us. Amen. And it tells us in verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Praise the Lord. That's where it is. That's where our focus must be. That's where our trust must be. You know, people go to all kinds of counselors and advisors to, you know, try to get some help. But you know what? God's word is our help, the help that we need. It's all in the book. Oh, yes, God has answers for every situation and dilemma. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, so going back to Psalms 118 here, it says, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Oh, in that day they shall say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. Praise the Lord, sing unto the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. This is known in all the earth. Praise the Lord. Yes, there's a song, a praise that comes forth from our being because, yes, we've been set free. We've been delivered. Oh, yes, we have that peace that passes all understanding. Praise the Lord. And then, oh, it's said here, praise the Lord, in verse 21, Psalms 118, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that's 12th chapter of Isaiah. Praise the Lord. And in that day, they shall say, praise the Lord. You know, you know, though thou wast angry with me, thy anger is taken away, so to speak. And I'm just paraphrasing here for a moment. Here, let's just get it straight here. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 12, it tells us, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Yes, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Praise the Lord. When we were in our sin, we were not right with God. You know, God was not pleased with us, just as he was not pleased with Zechariah, the high priest there, with Joshua, the high priest there in Zechariah, the third chapter. So here it is, you know, before we got right with God, there was anger. But praise the Lord, how that praise can come forth out of our lips, we realize what God's mercy has done. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, Jesus, that name means salvation. Praise the Lord. He's become, oh yes, our Savior. Praise the Lord, he came to this world to save us from our sins. And we're told, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. What a wonderful thing when you can dig deep into that well of salvation, you know, a well that's so deep that it will never run dry. There's always more of the Spirit of the living God for us, to incorporate into our lives, to bring forth, you know, to draw from. Always more, always more, always enough. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. And there is no name higher than the name of Jesus Christ. And all we're told, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. And oh, yes, we should be happy. I mean, you know, oh, praise the Lord, he's delivered us. It says, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Oh, praise the Lord, he's in our midst. He's here tonight. He walks up and down the aisles. He's here to meet our needs, to strengthen us, to pour out of his Spirit whatever it is that we have need of. He's here, praise the Lord. So praise the Lord, back here to Psalms 118. Verse 21, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. And then it says, a stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, I believe that 24th verse is talking about this day of salvation, when he brought in the new covenant in his blood. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, when we were freed from our past, when we could, oh, yes, repent of our sins, and oh, yes, allow the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from those sins. Amen. That's the day which the Lord hath made. Oh, the referral, that's what the Old Testament Christians were looking forward to, that day when the Savior would come. Oh, praise the Lord. But oh, yes, it's prophesied in verse 22, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. And what a phenomena. Praise the Lord, you know, they rejected him. Oh, they didn't like him, his own people, his own Jewish nation. But regardless, he still has become the headstone of the corner. Oh, yes, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, oh, praise the Lord. You know that revelation that Peter realized in the 16th chapter of Matthew. Oh, yes, he answered the question that Jesus was asking, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, yes, that cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Oh, that the church would be built upon. Praise the Lord, the chief cornerstone. Yes, that the builders rejected. Oh, praise the Lord. Despite that, it becomes the chief cornerstone. And praise the Lord, it's such a mighty church. It's such a powerful church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Oh, yes, we are blessed to be a part of that glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, Jesus told a parable in Matthew chapter 21. If we could go there. And oh, yes, you know, the stone which the builders rejected. Here he's there ministering to his own people here in this chapter in Matthew, the 21st chapter. Going down to verse 33, and it tells us here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he, the householder that had built this vineyard and hedged around it and built the tower and the wine press, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. It was time for the harvest, and yeah, he was, you know, planning to receive it, you know. So, you know, he had put it into the hands of these husbandmen, and, you know, they should have taken care of it, right? It should all be in order. There should be fruit to show forth. But here it is, verse 35. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? And of course, those servants represent the prophets of old that spoke forth under the anointing of God those wonderful prophetic utterances upon which our salvation comes forth from, all of those things that come to form the plan of God that God used. And of course, the Son represents our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save us from our sins, to pay that price so that we could have salvation. And what did the husbandmen do to Jesus? They crucified him, right? And just as it's told here in this parable, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And it tells us, and they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Well, I'll tell you what, when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. And then Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And of course, there he's quoting from Psalms 118, verses 23 and 24, which we just read. And you know, there it is. It's told, you know, the story. Oh, how Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But praise the Lord, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Oh, praise the Lord, yes. He was in the world, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. Praise the Lord, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful thing, that plan of God. But oh, yes, it was ordained from the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord. And oh, that stone, Jesus was the stone, the chief cornerstone he became, the stone which the builders rejected. Oh, yes, despite it, That stone, Zechariah was referring to, that stone has become the chief cornerstone. Oh, praise the Lord. It's marvelous in our eyes. And Jesus explained to those he was giving this parable to in Matthew 21, therefore say I unto thee, or unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And so it is. Oh, praise the Lord. Do you know? Those Jewish people that refused him, the Lord called forth another people that would see and understand and would come forth, to believe the gospel. To be joint heirs with Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And what a blessing and what a privilege, what a marvelous thing that we are told of here. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, there's some references here in 1 Peter, the second chapter. Let's read in 1 Peter chapter 2 for a little here. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, praise the Lord. And there's a sermon right there, those first three verses. And then it tells us, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of man, but chosen of God and precious. And it goes on to tell us, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, confused, or hindered. Praise the Lord. And then he says, unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disannulled, the same is made the head of the corner. Or actually the word is disallowed here in 1 Peter 2. The stone which the builders disallowed, they didn't allow Jesus to be their king. You know, they told Pilate, crucify him. They rejected him. They scorned him. Oh, they mocked him. They ridiculed him. Oh, my. But, despite that, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. And just as that parable goes forth there in Matthew chapter 21, as Jesus was indicating, so it is. But praise the Lord, Peter is addressing all the strangers. He's addressing Gentiles in this book of 1 Peter. Praise the Lord. The strangers that are scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, tells us in the very first book, in the very first verse of this book of 1 Peter. And so here it is stated, and this is so beautiful. Verse 9 tells us here, 1 Peter, the second chapter, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. And yes, it talks about that stone of stumbling, the 8th chapter of Isaiah. And yes, God knew in his foreknowledge, oh, how it would go, how it would be. Oh, yes, as he came forth as a son of God. Oh, yes, to save and to seek those that which are lost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, the builders disallowed him. Oh my, but despite it, he's become, oh, that chief cornerstone, the head of the corner. The church is built upon Jesus, his word, and that acknowledgement that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it's told us also in Acts, the 4th chapter, too, just, you know, as Peter was preaching to the Jews there. Oh, yes, in the 4th chapter of Acts, he was saying, oh, in the 8th verse, chapter 4 of Acts 4, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, oh, the religious elite, in other words, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And then it's explained, oh, he's going back to Psalms 118. This is a stone which was set and not of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And praise the Lord, verse 12 here in Acts 4 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, praise the Lord, there's only one way to God. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Oh, he only is the way, and except, oh my, we acknowledge that he is the Christ, we're never going to get to heaven. Amen. Oh, yes. But, oh, yes, that stone which the builders did not allow or disannulled, you know, that they set at naught, despite it, it's become the head of the corner. And praise the Lord, that's where our salvation is. That's where our hope is. That is what we stand on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to one last place here. At least I think it's one last place here tonight. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2. Praise God. Verse 11 here. The 2nd chapter of Ephesians tells us, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Oh, look at that. Yes, as Paul is addressing another Gentile church, the church at Ephesus. And that's the background. That's my background, you know, as being a Gentile. And it says, but now, Oh, praise the Lord. Now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain, one new man, so making peace. Oh, praise the Lord, he took that which was impossible for man to keep. Oh, that, was enmity. It kept people away from God in that sense. Oh, but he brought forth, his new covenant of his blood. Oh, yes, and this one brings us together, both Jew and Gentile. Oh, yes, to make himself a twain, one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that cross. Oh, upon which the Lord Jesus Christ was slain upon. Oh, by doing so, he was reconciling the people. He was bringing us together. He was offering salvation. Oh, by that shed blood which he so freely shed on that cross, praise the Lord, he was bringing us together. Oh, if we be Jewish or if we be Greek, he was bringing the people of the world together into one body by the cross. Praise the Lord, having slain the enmity thereby. Oh, yes, the thing that kept us separated, the thing that kept us apart, he slew it. Amen, so that we could come together, so we could all acknowledge him, so we could all be participants in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Yes, praise the Lord. It came and preached peace to you, which were afar off. And all that term afar off, yes, it's given in Zechariah 2. Oh, it refers to us who were not part of the commonwealth of Israel, of the first covenant. Praise the Lord, we were considered far off. And even on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, for this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. Oh, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, even reconciling the Gentile people, praise the Lord, into one body. Oh, yes, one people, praise the Lord, the enmity between us, is slain, it is forever gone, praise the Lord, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Praise the Lord. He was bringing us, whether we be Jews or whether we be Greeks, or Gentiles, in other words, to God. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. And so we're told here, verse 19, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the temple is mentioned in Zechariah. Oh, yes, here, he put it together, the plan of God. He would bring us, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, so that we could all build in the temple of our God. We can all be a stone, praise the Lord, part of the building. Oh, praise the Lord, fitly framed together, which groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, praise the Lord. He's called us so to be his own, to be his own people. And it tells us by whom he also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord, His Spirit that flows through us. Oh, praise the Lord, because we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, and oh, yes, He offered us, oh, His salvation, and oh, His Spirit. Oh, yes, oh, yes, the Spirit of the living God can flow through us as a habitation of God through the Spirit, a habitation, a dwelling place, praise the Lord. Oh, even for us, oh, who were once aliens and outcasts, non-participants, without God, without hope in the world, praise the Lord, but called forth, oh, to participate, to be a part of the family of God, to be part of His body, to be part of that temple of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people. Praise the Lord that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Oh, yes, as we're told. Oh, in 1 Peter, the second chapter. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a gift. What a privilege. Oh, yes, that stone that came forth. Oh, yes, rejected of His own. But oh, yes, regardless, now the chief cornerstone. And oh, yes, upon which the temple, the spiritual temple of the living God is built upon. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, it's a beautiful plan, this plan of God. Oh, yes, as he said, oh, to, as God inspired Zechariah to write it, for behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Praise the Lord, what Jesus did on the cross.
Amen.
Praise the Lord to save us. Praise the Lord, He removed our iniquities. Oh, yes, so that we could come boldly before that throne of grace. Oh, yes.
Lord.
To obtain mercy, oh, and to find grace to help in the time of need. Praise the Lord, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, behold the stone, the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ Himself, amen. Praise the Lord, upon which the temple of the living God is built. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for such a privilege and such a gift. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your glorious plan that, oh, yes, grafted us in, Lord, and showed us mercy, made us participants in thy kingdom and in thy temple. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, behold the stone. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In closing, we are going to open our Melodies of Praise hymnal to number 18 and sing The Solid Rock. 18.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
But holy lean on stay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.